Good morning, Victory Church. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm especially glad the Holy Spirit is here. Hey, you know, the growth track, in case you haven't, you know, caught the change in that, we were doing it. It took four Sundays to finish growth track. Now you do it at one time. You come on the 26th, you come cover the whole growth track. So that's the change in that. And I wanted to mention tonight about the water baptism. People are going to be water baptized. We're going to do that first. It's also, we call it water baptism, healing, and prophecy service. If you need healing in your body, God didn't quit healing people some point in time. He's the same God that we see throughout scriptures, the same Jesus that anybody that came to him with a physical need, he healed them. He's still doing that stuff. I've seen hundreds, probably thousands of miracles. I've been healed many times myself. We got people in this room that are alive today because God healed them. And we're going to just believe God. Here's what the scripture says. Any sick among you? Too bad, you're going to die. No, it doesn't say that. I'm sorry, it doesn't say that. No. Any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church. They shall pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith shall restore the one who's sick. That's what the Bible says. That's what we're going to do. Come, bring somebody that needs healing. And then we're going to do another thing the Bible talks about, which is prophecies. That didn't pass away either. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still in operation. And we're going to pray. If you've never got a prophetic word, we're going to believe God to speak through some people that have been trained and have one of the spiritual gifts called prophecy. We're going to believe God to speak through them and speak a prophetic word to you that's going to encourage you. That's what the Bible says prophecy is for: comfort, edification, exhortation. It's to build you up, not to tell you you're bad or something like that. That's weird. That's not prophecy. I mean, it's going to encourage you. So we're going to do all that tonight. It's going to be exciting. Okay, if you're being water baptized, see Pastor Carl before you leave. The class will start at about no later than 5:30, so be here a little early. Be sure you have all the information, and we'll do that. That's going to be awesome. Well, are you ready for the message today? This is the title of my message is called Overcomers. If you need notes, you can raise. If you don't have them, there should be one in your bulletin. If you didn't get one, or if you need an extra one, raise your hand. The ushers will give you some note-taking material, the notes to write down. Let me open this message, and this is going to be a two-part message. I'm going to finish it next week because I can't unpack it all today in the time that we have. And you probably need some time this week to think about what we start today and then come next week and we'll add to it. Let's start with 1 John, this verse right here. It's in your notes, but it'll be on the overhead also. Hey, could you go back to that last slide? Who made that slide? That's really cool. Jenny made that? Where's Jenny? Is she here? That's a cool slide you made. Wow. I hadn't seen that. I heard she, and it looks like, man, someone broke through a wall. How many of you need to break through a wall? Breakthrough. Man, praise God. All right, here's the verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is a verse out of the Bible. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Did you know there's a world out there? There's a devil out there. There's demons. There's people. There's sin. There's stuff that wants to overcome you. You can't just go with the flow of this world. We're called to be overcomers. Whatever is born of God. How many here are born of God? You've been born again? That's what it means. If you're a Christian, there's a deposit on the inside of you that wants to overcome everything that wants to come against you and destroy you and hold you back. The devil's not going to help you become what God called you to be. He's going to fight you tooth and toenail. He's going to throw everything in his arsenal at you. There is a devil. If you don't believe it, just read the New Testament. You'll see Jesus casting out demons, binding Satan, talking to him. The devil came and even tempted Jesus. Look at that. Luke chapter 2, you see, or chapter 4, where he goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In the Garden of Eden, you see the devil, a renegade angel named Satan who was cast down to the earth. And God used it as the ideal opportunity to let man have virtue, volition, the ability to choose good over evil. If all we had was good, we couldn't make that decision. God took the opportunity that one of his angels rebelled against him and became evil, and he cast them down to the earth and said, this is a divine setup. Now I can create a species of being who can be like me, choosing good over evil. That's the opportunity that we have every day, choose good over evil. But there has to be evil or it's not a choice, right? If all you could ever do, then it wouldn't be virtue. It wouldn't be volition. But God wants us to be like, he wants us to choose him and actually have that choice. And to do that, you have to reject something else. That's what I want to talk about today. Overcoming and have an overcomer's mentality. Whatever is born of God, here's God's choice, here's God's desire for us, overcomes the world. In your life, in your daily life, you've experienced the forces and the power of the world. It's what makes us upset. It's what frustrates us. It's what causes us to feel fear. It's what causes us to have pain, disgust, disappointment in our life. It's the world, and we've been called to overcome the world. Not that the world is going to leave us, but that in the midst of it, Jesus prayed for his disciples. He says, they're in the world, but not of the world. And pray for them not to take them out of the world, but that they would overcome the world. So don't pray for, you know, something that's not going to. There will be a time when Satan is bound for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. There'll be 1,000 years of peace on the earth. We're not there. There's a day when it's going to come, and we have to live in the reality of the fact that there is a devil loose. And to do that, you have to start with the understanding you are called to be an overcomer, which means you have to face a battle. The name of our church is Victory Church. Victory implies a battle. We all want the victory, but we don't want the battle. And sometimes we just get discouraged because we're in a battle, but change your thinking and say, oh my, the fact that I'm in a battle means that I get to be a victor and be victorious and have victory in my life. I'm going to come through this thing. I'm going to make it. I'm going to overcome. It's going to be all right. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Yeah, our faith. What has Jesus defeated every enemy that we have on a cross 2,000 years ago, and now we just have to enforce his victory that he won for us and apply it to the circumstances of life. You see that? So it's not like I have to go fight the devil and defeat him. I have to take what Jesus did and apply it to my situation and drive him out of my circumstances. I want to talk to you today and next week about overcomers. We are overcomers and not victims. It's very important not to have a victim mentality. You could also call it a loser mentality. None of us would like to be referred to that, but it comes together. When you pick up a victim mentality, which the world wants to put on you, you also take on a loser mentality. And you don't want, we are not losers, we are overcomers. What that mentality says is, I can't win. I can't overcome. I'm stuck with what life has dealt me. Circumstances rule over me. Sin rules over me. I'm a loser. I'm powerless to conquer the sin that plagues me and follows me. But on the other hand, the Spirit of Christ that comes in us when we're born again, an overcomer's mentality says this, and you're going to pick through the choices of life one or the two mentalities. And the spirit of the world is to say that, oh, you know, it's not your fault. You can't overcome. That's just the way it is. Just don't expect anything great. Don't think you're going to win. You're just a victim. You can't help it. You're just a loser. Nothing's ever going to work out for me. Just buy into Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. Everything goes wrong for me. Have you ever been around people like that? They just have that mindset, and it creeps into us in different ways. Now, here's what an overcomer's mentality that I believe the Bible is encouraging us to have. Here's an overcomer's mentality. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says, if God is for me, who can be against me? It says, circumstances don't rule me. I can move mountains. Jesus said, if I speak to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in my heart, but believe that whatever I say will come to pass, I'll have whatever I say. The overcomer's mentality says, sin doesn't rule over me. I rule over sin by the Holy Spirit of God that's on the inside of me. I'm not a victim to sin. I'm not one who just has to acquiesce and I have no power. I'm not one who's been destined to sin the rest of my life. The Spirit of God gives me the power to overcome everything that would try to drag me down. The overcomer's mentality says the culture around me doesn't dictate to me. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I don't have to become like the world. I don't have to go down the same path of as my parents and grandparents and friends and other people, those that are close, and people I see on TV. I don't have to go down that path. I can take a different path. I can walk a path to victory. The overcomer's mentality says, I'm a world overcomer. It says Jesus gave me power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It says the evil one doesn't run my life. I'm led by the Spirit of God. It says my fleshly desires don't rule me. I'm not a slave to my emotions and my desires. I master my fleshly desires by the Spirit of God on the inside of me. The overcomer's mentality says, I'm not helpless against lust and pride. I crucify my flesh and make it my slave. The overcomer's mentality says, I'm a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm a king's kid. My Father sits on the throne of the universe, and I'm His child, and I'm just like Him. Overcomer's mentality says, I am an overcomer. I will not be overcome by the evil of this generation, the negativity. I'll not be overcome by the victim mentality. I'll rise to the great things, the things that God had in store for me before the foundations of the earth. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 2. And I want you to see these are letters to the churches. Everybody say churches.
Churches.
That's us. That's believers. And you read the seven letters to the churches, it outlines, when you read all seven of them, different pitfalls that every believer can fall into. That's why it's written to. I'm just going to pull one of them out. The word overcome is used more in the book of Revelations than all other places in the Bible put together, because it's a book of victory on how to get your life where God wants it to be and where you want it to be. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Look, to him who overcomes. Every one of the seven churches that he writes to has this passage. To him who overcomes. And I tell you today, we need to hear this more than any other time in history. Because there's a devil out there that wants you to succumb, not overcome. He wants you to give up. And Jesus would say that. This to us today. He's saying it to us today. The book of Revelation starts with this. Whoever, he gives a blessing to whoever would read and heed the words of this book. So let's read and heed these words. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to eat of the, what? Tree of life. Do you remember that from 3 weeks ago? Pastor Mike gave a message on living in the tree of life instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what does it take to get there? You have to overcome the assignment of the enemy, the words of the enemy, the spirit of this world, to eat of the tree of life. And when the disciples didn't understand Jesus and who he was in John chapter 14, he said, let me make it simple to you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, he's the tree of life. He is. There's life in him. So to him who overcomes, and maybe you've been a Christian, say, I don't understand why I'm a Christian, and I'm not enjoying my life because something's overcoming us instead of us overcoming. And we have to get this overcome mentality and shake off the mentality, that loser mentality of the world, the victim mentality, that I'm helpless against the wiles of the devil. It's not true. You're not helpless. You have help on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit is called the helper. That's what he is. He's there to help you. And he's given you authority over the victim mentality. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is a very timely message. I pray about all the messages that we have in this church. I feel like that's my number one function, is to hear. What are you saying to us as a church? What do you want us to know? What do we need to hear today in this message? I don't want to just stand up here and talk. It's got to be relevant. It's got to be timely. We have to be like the sons of Issachar, who understand the times. Where is one great man of God, I forget who it was, he said, if I've preached the gospel on every front except that front where the devil is currently attacking, I have not preached the gospel at all. And this is where the devil is attacking us. As I look out on our country, our country is being inundated with a victim mentality. It's run rampant all over the world. Most of your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents left other countries to come here to escape. You know what? A victim mentality. And they knew America was a place where people said, I don't have to be a victim. Just give me an equal shot and I'll make it. I'm an overcomer. That was the spirit that formed this nation, this country, that made this nation great. But I see it ebbing away day by day by the philosophies of government and society and education is telling us, no, you're not an overcomer. Just sit back. Somebody's got to take care of you because you're too weak. You're not strong enough. You're a victim. It pervades our society and it even creeps into our spirituality and says, I can't overcome the sins that plague me. I'm just a victim of what's been handed down to me. And I would be here to tell you today, my message to you today is that Jesus would say, don't buy that lie. Amen. You're an overcomer. Yeah. You're destined to overcome. You're destined to greatness. Amen. We live in a culture that says, give in. Give in to temptations. Go with the flow, and I don't have time to chronicle all that. I'm sure you've heard that, but that's the modern mantra of psychology and psychiatry today is if something, you know, if you've got some kind of thought, you've got to give into it. No, that's not true. You've got to judge it. The mantra of today is just go with the flow. Really? What if it's the flow of the devil? Am I supposed to go with that? See, that's the question asked. Which flow is this? Here's your first fill in the blank. There's a time to yield, and there's a time to resist. Yeah. I'm here today to tell you the truth. To be a success in life, I'm going to give you at the end of this 7 steps to being a successful overcomer in this life. But here's the first thing you need to know. There's a time to yield, and then there's a time to resist. Now, how do I know which is which? And you're going to see in those 7 steps, you have to spend time with God. You have to live in the tree of life, which is Jesus, and he'll show you what to yield to and what to resist. Because there are times when you need to yield. There's times when you want to fight and resist, and it's not time, it's not the place. It's God is working, and you need to yield to God. Then there's other things that the devil wants to bring into our life that we need to resist. You don't yield to them. You don't yield to temptation. No, you don't yield to the things that the devil, the lies, the accusations, you're never going to make it. You resist that. So the Bible puts it this way, submit to God, resist the devil. And the important thing is trying to figure out which is which and who is who. And you do that by spending time with God so that you can distinguish his voice from the enemy's voice. Don't listen to his voice. So I'm not here today to put a bunch of rules and regulations on you. That doesn't help. You have to have a relationship. You need to spend time with God. You need to hear. I'm here today to give you freedom, just like Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 36. Here's what he said. He said, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. See, the devil, before I got saved, he told me, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to be free, you need to move out of your parents' home so you can do what life is all about. God, you want to stay away from God because he just wants to steal your fun. And, you know, he's just an old spoiled joy, wants to take away all the joy. And the devil, I didn't know it was the devil. The devil's saying, do this and do that and you'll be happy and you'll really be free. What I didn't realize, what he didn't tell me, is he was making me a slave. A slave to sin. But Jesus said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You're a servant. You're a child. You're a child of the King. Jesus makes you free. He makes you free indeed. But at the same time, your next fill in the blank is this. We are responsible for our decisions and actions. So, we are responsible for our decisions and actions. You have freedom of choice, but not freedom of consequence. And the purpose for the strictures and the commands and the instructions of Scripture is to define, they're like the white lines on the side of the road. They tell us where safety ends and danger begins. They tell us where the good road stops and the soft sand starts. They tell us where you can find life and where death begins. Isn't that what Jesus told Adam and Eve? Don't eat from this tree, because the day you eat it, you shall surely die. So he wants us to live. So You're responsible for your decisions and actions. The freedom of Christ does not free us from the need to make wise decisions. You get that? Freedom in Christ does not free you from the need to make wise decisions. It's kind of like this sign. I found this. Somebody took a picture of this sign. Everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is you're stupid and make bad decisions. All right. Hopefully that's not a church sign. I don't know if that somebody put that in front of their church. And it's probably in front of a business. I don't know how many customers they attract with that. That is funny, but it might be true sometimes. We want to avoid the bad decisions. Okay, I want to look at it from Romans chapter 8. Go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. A very long passage. I only put a couple of them in your notes. You can follow along on the overhead. And I'm just going to read through this because we need to set the framework. I want you to know how to have victory. God has provided a way for victory. It's His Spirit living on the inside of us. But He identifies clearly the battle that you and I are. You are not alone in your struggle. The temptation that you face is common to every person. Maybe it's a little different. Maybe you're weak in areas that I'm not weak in. We all have our struggles. Come on. I'm not standing up here saying I'm perfect. I'm saying we're all on a journey. I've got issues. You've got issues. All God's children got issues. First step is to realize I've got issues. The second step is to realize God will help me overcome my issues. And then it's a lifelong process dealing with the issues, overcoming those things. There is therefore, Romans 8. I love this verse. There's therefore now no condemnation. Folks, we're all in this together. Don't condemn yourself because you're struggling against your flesh. That's a good sign. The struggle is real. Just keep fighting. Keep struggling. We're all in this. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. Okay, so there it is. You can't just walk any old way. We can't give in to our flesh, which is 1 John 2:15 defines the flesh like this: the lust of the eyes, or the strong desire of the eyes, the strong desire of the natural appetites, and the boastful pride of life. It's in every one of us. It's the default setting that came through Adam and Eve's original sin. That's our default setting. We can't give in to it. You can't say, I've got to. No, there are things to resist and there's things to submit to. Those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You're consumed with anger and pride and jealousy and hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, all these things. Desires. But those who are according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit, the things of God. He changes your appetites. He changes your desires. You want to spend time with God. You want to spend time with the people of God. You want to worship. You want to read the Bible. You have to direct your attention as to what you want to consume and what you want to consume you. The mindset on the flesh is death. Yeah, but I enjoy that sin. Okay, there's pleasure in sin for a season, the Bible says, but the end thereof is death. Think about the end result. Is that where you want to end up? But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. That's what we want. So we have to make those tough decisions. We have to deny our flesh. Every one of us has our own battle. You've got stuff you're battling. I've got stuff I'm battling. Hopefully, as we battle it, and then that one gets defeated, I start working on other stuff. And you keep working, you keep growing, you keep getting closer to God. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. Let me tell you, you don't want to be hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's us, right? Hopefully. If not, we'll take care of that before you leave. You need His Spirit living inside of you. You can't win the battle without Him. He who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we're under obligation, not to our flesh. Did you get that? That's what society tells you. You're obligated to your flesh to give into it. No, you're not. We're under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, that's what you got to get better at, you will live. This is a message for our society today. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You haven't received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. It's a personal relationship. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him. You've got to endure. There's things to overcome in order that we may be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That was a long passage. Thank you for bearing with me as I read that, but that's very important to where we're at today in our society. What kind of deeds does the flesh like to do? Can I just be real with you today? Is it okay to be real in church? And define some stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 says this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now, I don't know about you. There's the world out there has a million different opinions on what's right and what's wrong. It's very confusing. I've decided about 40 years ago, I asked God. He told me his word was the arbiter of truth. It was truth. It was the arbiter between good and evil. And if I looked at it and I agree with it, my life would go better. And since that day, I looked at the Bible differently. Before that day, I didn't understand the Bible. It was just a book, a quaint collection of metaphysical fables. Take it or leave it. It's nice poetry. That day changed my life, and this became the authority in my life. Now, if you haven't come to that conclusion, then you have to decide what is the arbiter of truth. What is the plumb line? How do we know right from wrong? And if you look to any other source, you will get very confused, and you'll hear a million different answers. This book is very concise and very clear. So God's going to lay out for us some truth here. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither is going to give a list of stuff. I don't want to take my time and go through this, and let's look at this. Neither fornicators. All right, what is that? Maybe some people don't even know. Fornication is having sexual relations with somebody you are not married to. Very clear. Today's society, if we just boldly stated that in public, they would laugh at us, right? Oh, that's long gone. Well, then you got to make up your mind. You got a different standard? Is there a different God than that's the God that I'm serving? What he's saying is, I created the earth. I know how it works, and I know what brings life, and I know what brings death. And I am warning you, I'm telling you, not because I've just made an arbitrary line in the sand. I am giving you descriptions of reality, and when you cross these lines, you are not safe, and you will not be happy. It will not bring true peace and love and joy into your life. I didn't know that when I was a teenager. I thought my parents' generation and all of them, they were trying to keep me from what really life was all about. And I found out it didn't bring peace and joy and contentment and happiness and fulfillment. And one day I met the Master. I met him face to face. I gave my life to him, and amazed me that I could have all those things that I was searching in so many different ways. I had it sitting on my couch in my living room by myself in the dark and feeling the presence of God. I wept before the presence of God thinking, is this what it was all about? Yeah, that's what it's all about. You got to make up in your mind what you're going to look to as the source. God says, I'm trying to protect you from harm. And he says, this will kill you and destroy you and make your life miserable. You got to decide whether to believe it or not. It's up to you. I can't do that for you. I'm just presenting it to you, and I'm telling you what happened to my life. And I found that when I live according to the Word of God, things go better. When I violate it, things don't go very well. And God still loves me. And you know it hurts His heart when we break His commands, because He said, I've showed you, and we get the consequences of our bad decisions. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, many things you can idolize in this world, nor adulterers. So let's just be real clear once again, what is that? That is violating the marriage covenant sexually, having sexual relationships either from within. You have a marriage covenant and you violate it by having a sexual relationship outside of that covenant, or you intrude that covenant and have a sexual relationship with somebody that has a covenant with somebody else. That's adultery. Nor effeminate. What is that? That's a man who acts like a woman. Again, if you follow psychology, I'm going with the Bible, okay? I'm going with this. And he's saying this is not productive. It's not healthy. I know the media is saying this is a wonderful thing and people are doing this and they're heroes and this is wonderful. Empirically, studies don't bear that out. It's, if you study it through the Journal of Medicine, you'll see that people have had gender changes or struggled and changed in this ways. 80% of them say they wish they had never done it, and that they end up, and listen, my heart goes out to people that struggle with their sexual identity. It's, see, what happens is, okay, I've never struggled with that, so it's easy for me to say, oh, what's wrong with you? But I've struggled with other stuff, and here it is. We all have our own struggles, and we don't need to look down on somebody who's not struggling what we're struggling with, because it's like, well, what's wrong with you? No, what's wrong with you is the same thing that's wrong with me. I have a selfish, prideful, evil nature that wants to do sin, and I have to overcome it. And we don't need to alienate those people. We need to tell them, help is in the kingdom of God. You need to come into the only place where you're going to get the right answers. We welcome you. You're having struggles? Go ahead. You're having struggles? We don't want to make your struggles harder. We want to tell you, I've had my own struggles. They may not be your struggles, but I've found the answer to all struggles. It's in a person. His name is Jesus. Come with me and let's walk this journey together. So we don't need to sit on our high and mighty horse and say, oh, this is a special sin. You're a special kind. There's no special kind of sinner. There's just sinners. And we're all there and we're all fighting our own battle. Let's get in together and get a solution together. So for too long, the church has become part of the problem. We've alienated people with struggling with certain types of sins. Where does that come from? We're all in this together, folks. Nor effeminate, nor, pretty clear, homosexuals. So if you want to know whether you're born with it, no. God would never condemn something that you're born with. It'd be like saying, you know, people with blue eyes, they're going to hell. Oh my gosh, I was born with blue eyes. It's terrible. No. God's not going to do that, right? He's going to condemn inappropriate behavior based on how He created the planet and said, here's life and here's death. And this is what God says. It's not good. You need to reject it. I'm just sticking with the Word of God. I'm not going to look to somebody else to answer my question. I'm going to look to God. He's very clear. But it's not a special kind of sin. It's just one of a long list of sins, folks. Nor thieves. There you go. Right. Thieves. Nor the covetous. So, you know, if you've coveted your neighbor's car or something he's got, and then we get on our high and mighty horse and condemn the sector of society, say homosexuals or transgender, wait a minute, be pretty careful here, because the Bible says the way you judge, you'll be judged. So let's not be judgmental. Let's judge ourselves. Amen. Nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. What's a reviler? It's someone who uses insulting or abusive language. I've heard lots of people in the church condemn homosexuals with insulting and abusive language.
Right.
Trouble. Trouble. We can't do that. We're all in this together, folks. There's no special sins. Revilers go to hell just like effeminate or homosexuals or drunkards. We've got a battle on our hands and we need to be overcomers. Nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look at this. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. That's the only hope for humanity. The only hope for our generation is not to tell them to accept and identify themselves with the temptation that they're facing, but to identify themselves with Christ, who's a victor, and give them hope. Don't let the world tell you that you can't, this is the next fill in the blank, that you can't overcome your temptations or your snares. The devil puts a snare in front of you and the world says, nope, nope, you can't go around it. Nope, you can't avoid it. It's not true. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. That's the message we have for this world. Therefore, my beloved, flee from whatever comes against you, idolatry or whatever, whatever the snare the devil has for you. The next fill in the blank. Don't embrace the snare. See, but we have a society that says embrace temptation. If you're tempted in a certain area, embrace that and define yourself by it. Okay, I'm going to read you some things. Just to break it up a little bit. This first grade teacher, she asked in her students in first grade to write letters to God, and she collected them. So here's a few of them. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? That was Neil. Dear God, I read the Bible. What does begat mean? Nobody will tell me. Dear God, I like the Lord's Prayer best of all. Did you have to write it a lot, or did you get it right the first time? I have to write everything over and over. Lois. Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There's nothing good in there right now. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works for my brother and I. Dear God, I do not think anybody could be a better God. Well, I just wanted you to know. But I'm not just saying that just because you're God. Charles. Next, fill in the blank. Don't let your temptation define you. That's what society says now, is define yourself by your temptation. I'm just a thief. I'm a thief. I am an adulterer. I am a fornicator. I am a homosexual. I am this or that. You know, that's just, don't buy that. Don't define yourself by your temptations. You are not what you are tempted by. You're an overcomer in Christ. 1 John 4:4 says, you're from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. The Spirit of God in you is greater than the spirit of this world. You're an overcomer. So I want to give you 7 steps to success. We're going to wrap it up with this, and I'm going to pick it up again here next week. So just write these down there in your notes. 7 steps to success in overcoming. 1, let the Word read you daily. I'll explain that next week. Let the Word read you daily. What I want you to do is meditate on these this week. Next week, we're going to take it a little deeper. 2, seek out friends who overcome. Seek out friends who have a little more track record. They're a little further down the road than you, and they've learned to overcome in some areas. I haven't arrived, but I've overcome some big obstacles in my life. See, so, and there's a lot of people in this room. There's people that used to be drunkards, and they're not. If you struggle with that, you want to get with one of those people. 3, walk in the Spirit. 4, worship often. We'll talk about this more next week. Totally changes your life. Worship often. 5, feed your faith and starve your doubts. Feed your faith, starve your doubts. 6, identify and use your gifting. Identify and use your gifting. 7, be thankful. Be thankful. We're going to take a little journey. Is it okay? Can we kind of take this journey a little bit and look into these things? I want to help you. I need help. We all need help. We're in this journey together. That's what church is all about. Helping us live the victorious. Help us navigate these treacherous waters of life. How do I know? Society is saying this is normal. This, you can't help it. You're just to this. You're just to that. I don't know about you, but I'm just going with the Word of God. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. And I'm just reading it before you. And we're reading this together. And we're saying, okay, how do we overcome this? What do we extend a lost and dying generation? What do we extend those who are struggling with sin? Do we tell them there's no hope, this defines you, and that's what you are? Or do we tell them there's hope in the Word of God? Maybe I'm not struggling with what you're struggling with, but let me tell you what I have struggled with, and it's a long list. It's like everything in that list, except for, you know, two things that I don't identify with. You know, being effeminate or homosexual is just not something that I was tempted with or never gave into. That doesn't make me better than somebody else that didn't have some of the weaknesses I had. But I've fallen prey to just, I've broken all the Ten Commandments. We're in this together, folks. We need to help each other. We need to put our arms around each other and overcome the devil and temptations. And we're going to take a little journey on this. The next few weeks, I'm going to inspire you to go to new heights in your personal life. I'm going to inspire you to reach out with arms of compassion and love to a lost and dying world, not look down on them or pretend that we're better than them in some way. The next couple weeks, I want to infuse you with a vision for overcoming, transform you from being a victim into a victor. I pray, and my belief is that these messages, when we put them together, is going to bring peace and happiness into your home and your family. Are you ready? Let's pray. I want to encourage you this week. Meditate on these seven steps. Be thinking about it. Be prepared and go back and look at these scriptures. Lord, I thank you for your power. I thank you that you forgave me. I thank you that as I look out on this lost and dying world, I see people struggling with all kinds of addictions and habits and sin. And I say, Lord, but for the grace of God, there go I. Lord, if you hadn't reached down 40 years ago and rescued me, I'd be dead today. I'd be worse than dead. I'd be a shame to my family, a disgrace to my family and people that love me. I was already making so many bad mistakes. It was just a matter of time before all it came back to roost, and it was all evident what a terrible person I was. But for the grace of God, I don't understand why you reached out and grabbed me and saved me and rescued me. But I want to in turn reach out and grab and help and save some others around me who are in the same condition that I was. Help me to be a soul winner. Help me to be someone who loves the unlovely, helps those who feel like it's hopeless and they're never going to make it. Let's extend the love of Jesus to all those that are around us. Let's not sit on our high horse. Let's humble ourselves and say, God, but for the grace of God, there go I. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, if I died tonight, I don't know where I'd go. I'm not sure. That's why you're here today. Maybe you've struggled with your identity. Maybe you've bought the lie of the devil and the devil's tried to cubbyhole you and define you and say, you cannot overcome this because this is the way you were born. Folks, we are all born with a propensity towards sin, every one of us. And the Bible tells us to be an overcomer. Listen, I want to tell you today, you're an overcomer. You can overcome everything and anything that the devil throws in your path. Do not define yourself by your weaknesses, but by the God who lives on the inside of you. I'm here today to tell you there's freedom, there's victory, there's hope, there's the ability to live a victorious Christian life where you have peace and joy. And it's not by changing some of the attributes that God has given you. It's by defining what is temptation and what is the Spirit of God and overcoming the weaknesses. You might be here today, and if you're one of those, as I just mentioned, you're not sure if you died tonight you'd go to heaven. You might say, well, does anybody know? Is there any way to know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. It's that simple. And all it means is there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes. He lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to take care of that. But you might be here today, and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I need to be. And I want to get back on track. I want to get right with God. Maybe you've bought the lie of the devil and defined yourself by your temptations. Maybe you've never taken that next step and been water baptized. You can do that tonight. But if either one of those two apply to you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up or come forward. But if today is a fresh start for you, a new day, and you want to get back on track or you want to surrender your life to Christ, just slip up your hand right where you're at. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? This is a new day for you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Put your hands down. Everybody pray this prayer. A bunch of people raise their hand. I want you to pray this prayer with them. We all mean business with God. Pray this. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.